Such a beautiful, beautiful song. I was commenting in the early service today. That song is, it really comes home. It really comes home in the times when you think you're all by yourself. You know, I was sharing with someone earlier this week, can't remember who I was talking to at the time, but we were talking about surgeries and talking about going different things. And I said, you know when that song means the most? It's not the hardest when you're fixing to have surgery and everybody's in the room with you praying for you. That's not the hard part. The hard part is not when they wheel you out of the room and your family follows you, because they're still there. The hard part is when they stop and they say, now the family and the friends got to go this direction and we're going this direction. That is when it's hard. And that is when you remember the lesson, his eyes on the sparrow, that he is with you every step of the way. That's when the Lord is the closest to you. It's when you realize it's you and him so much. Take your Bibles. Turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs. I did not realize when I started this how hard it's going to be to pick one lesson out of each chapter. It is really, really difficult. But we began in the 1st of January to read one proverb a day, 31 chapters, 31 days in the month of January. And that we were going to pull out one lesson, and I hope one lesson from each chapter, and I hope you have been reading Proverbs every day, and that you're pulling out a lesson that you're learning. Because Proverbs is a book on wisdom, and the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 10 in verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom comes from God's word. That's why the writer of Hebrews wrote over in chapter 5 that strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Discernment comes from God. Discernment is that inner sight that God gives you from his word that you can know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. That you can know the difference between what is important and what is not. That you can know the difference to that which touches this life and that which touches eternity. That comes from wisdom, and wisdom and discernment comes from God's word. James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So we need to pray right now that God gives us wisdom. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious word that you've given to us. Father, that we can read and we can study and learn more about you and your precious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that he is our teacher and our guide. And Father, you said, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of you to ask in faith. Father, we pray that you'll give us the wisdom and the discernment that we need the days that we're living in. That we can discern between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. Father, that we might dig deep to your precious word. Father, I pray that as I preach, that you'll give me the words that would be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name do I pray. Amen. I want to back up just a little bit and to what we talked about last week. And I mentioned last week there are two words that are essential. In studying the book of Proverbs, the word is life in relationships. Proverbs is about how to live a blessed life. It's about living. The second word is relationships, because what you will understand as you go through life, it will finally dawn on you one day that the most important thing in life is relationships. And in the book of Proverbs, it talks about three relationships. Number one, your relationship with God, which is the most important relationship a person can ever have, their relationship with God. The second relationship it talks about is relationship with others. The relationship you have with your parents, you have with your spouse, that you have with your children, your neighbors, your business partners, the people that you come in contact, those relationships. The third relationships that it talks about in the book of Proverbs are the relationships that you need to avoid. Because there are relationships that you do not need to have. Matter of fact, it talks about in Proverbs that don't pass by it, avoid it, stay away from it, that there are certain individuals that you need to stay away from, you need to avoid, because the only thing that they will do in your life is destroy your life. We talked about the key verse in Proverbs. And I imagine if you go through commentaries and you study, you will probably not see this as a key verse, but it, to me, it is. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, it says this: "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." To me, this is the key verse in Proverbs. Because the question is, how long are you going down the same pathway you've been going before you will eventually come to your senses and realize the path that God has laid is the right path? The word simple there means the ones that are naive, the ones that are easily led, the ones that are easily influenced by the world. The scorners, we know those who scorn everything. The fools are those who hate the Lord. How long will you stay in this? And the question that we need to ask ourselves is this also: how long are we going to keep going down the same pathway away from the Lord before we turn around and follow God? Now, I have 30 minutes to preach 7 chapters. So I'm going to go in a hurry. Somebody says I need to put my notes on the screen. Maybe one day I will. But let me go through this because I want to get to one point in the very end. In chapter 7, the lesson that I saw in the whole chapter is this: life is kept when God's word is obeyed. Life is kept when God's word is obeyed. Notice Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. "My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Strike them upon the table of thine heart." Notice that. Keep his word. Keep the word of God. Notice that in verse 2. "Keep my commandments and live." Notice that. To live. I love Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. "A wise man will hear and will increase learning." How many times have you made the statement about somebody, they just won't listen? They just won't listen. A wise man hears, a wise man listens, and he increases in knowledge. And what we need to understand, God's word is there to keep us from sin. That God's word is there to guide our path as we walk through this life. That God's word is there to teach us how to walk, how to talk, how to act. that God's word is there to preserve us. And what we need to understand, that we need to get to the understanding in our life that God wants us to do two things: trust and what? Obey. Trust and obey. Brother Art and Blake and I were talking this week, and I mentioned the fact that there are times that people, all they do is talk about it. I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this. But it reminds us of the Nike slogan. You ever remember the Nike slogan? Just do it. And there's a slogan that, and I want to have how I say this, you can either pew it, P-E-W, or do it. You can sit in the pew and say, this is what I need to do, and walk out the door and forget it. Or you can do it. And the lesson in chapter 7 is to obey God's word. The lesson in chapter 8, life is blessed when wisdom is found. Life is blessed when wisdom is found, and wisdom comes from God. Notice Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Notice that. When you find wisdom, you are finding life, because wisdom begins with God. And when you find God, you find life. Isn't that interesting that back in chapter 7, he says, keep my commandments and live. That in chapter 8, whosoever findeth me findeth life. Life comes from God, wisdom, so that we might live a blessed life. And the thing that we have to do is we have to search for it. We have to long for it. We have to watch for it. You know, Pat and I have a wonderful relationship. I can have something missing and ask her, and she knows right where it is. I say, you know, where is so-and-so? Oh, it's right there. And too many people are like me. We don't look for it. We just ask for it. But if you're going to find it, not only must you ask for it, you almost must also search for it. And it is found in God's word. Going on down to chapter 9. I said I was going to go through this in a hurry, so y'all bear with me. Chapter 9, life is blessed when God is revered and feared. When God is given reverence and we fear him. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When we reverence God because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, he is the great I am. He is the creator, the giver, and the sustainer of life. He is the one that spoke and the worlds came into existence. He is the one that sits upon the throne of glory. And he says, by the zeal of the Lord of hosts, I will perform this. As he's going to finish what he started, and he's going to work out that wonderful plan of salvation to his completion. That he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. That we ought to reverence him, and we also ought to have a godly fear. And that godly fear because of his holiness, because God is a holy God. And one day we will stand before him and give an account. And the only way that we can stand before God is in holiness, and it must be the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that covers us. God is to be revered, and God is to be feared. We need a godly fear of the Lord, and life is blessed. When we get down to chapter 10, notice what it says in chapter 10. Life is blessed when your children listen and hear wisdom. Life is blessed when your children listen and hear wisdom. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. It is amazing when we finally see our children grow up and start walking with the Lord and maturing in their faith. Because I learned that lesson years ago, and I heard this, and it wasn't until I experienced it that I realized what it really meant. And it is, when your children are little, they tread upon your feet. But when they get older, they tread upon your heart. Because when they're little, and I tell you, one of the greatest days I had with my children was when they were about 2 and 3 years of age. And I would put the key in the door coming home from work. And when that key turned and I opened the door, those little stair steps were right there. They could not wait to see Daddy. And then they became teenagers. And only till you have teenagers, not being a teenager, having a teenager that you understand. They grunt. How's your day? You know, they only talk when they wanted something. Then they would explain it. And you survive those years so they can bring you grandchildren. Blessing grandchildren are. But when they get in the 20s and they go off to college and they think they know everything and they know nothing and they tread on your heart. But what a joy when they start living for the Lord. And you see them maturing in their faith and raising their children up in the Lord. What a blessing. When we see our children walking in truth, John says in 3 John chapter 1, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Life is blessed when your children hear and listen to the wisdom of God. That's a blessing. Chapter 10, I could not do it in one lesson. I had to do two. I'm sorry. So part two. Life is blessed when love is shared. Notice this. Life is blessed when love is shared. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love does not stir up things. Love brings unity and peace. Love brings the right motive. Selfishness stirs up hatred. But love brings what the family needs. Chapter 11. Life is blessed when honesty is a way of living. Life is blessed when honesty is a way of living. Notice that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Down to verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secret, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Life is blessed when honesty is a way of living, when that we live in honesty in our life, regardless of what it is, that we're honest and above board in our business, in our dealings with our family, in our dealings with our neighbors, that we are honest regardless of what they do, we do what is right and honest in the sight of all. I had a good friend of mine. He got a second job, and he said, well, I'm going to go sell cars. So he got a second job. While he was in that business just for a little bit, they brought in a salesman, an expert salesman, to teach him how to sell cars. And that man told him this. This is what he said. If you want to sell cars, now I'm saying this. This is this man's philosophy. Okay? If you want to sell cars, you got to learn how to lie. That's what he said. If you want to sell cars, you got to learn how to lie. You can't be honest. If they call up and say, yeah, do you have this make and this model on the car lot? You say, yes, I do. And when they, he says what he said. When they come down, say, we just sold it. But let me get you, let's show you this one. That's the way the world works. But life is blessed when we're honest. A just weight is his delight. When in all of our dealings, the people can look at us and say, he deals honestly. He keeps his word. I want you to see also in chapter 12. Life is blessed when kindness is shown. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. In other words, the righteous man, he takes care of his family. Not only does he take care of his family, he even takes care of his livestock. He's not cruel. It literally means he understands the soul of the beast. That he is kind. That's why Paul writes over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want you to understand, if you'll live by verse 32, it will erase about 80% of the conflicts you have in your life. To learn to be kind one to another, forgiving. Life is blessed when kindness is shown. Chapter 12 also had a second lesson I wanted to bring out is this. Life is blessed when you earn your own way. Notice what he says. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Literally what it is talking about is the man that is willing to work will enjoy the fruit of his labor. But the vain person, the person who deals in fantasies and laziness will come up wanting. In other words, will go to poverty. You want to know the best meal that you'll ever eat? The best meal you'll ever eat is when you had to shuck the corn and silk it. And you had to do the peas or the butter beans. Peel the potatoes so your mother can mash them. And when you sit down to cube steak with gravy over the top of it and mashed potatoes with gravy over the top of that and cream corn and zipper peas and a slab of cornbread, that's pretty good, isn't it? When you eat the fruit of your labor, it tastes so good. Jonah chapter 13. I'm getting hungry. Let me go on. Chapter 13, life is blessed when you learn what not to say. Life is blessed when you learn what not to say. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Verse 5, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. You go back to chapter 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The life is blessed when you learn what not to say. You know, I look back over my life and some of the greatest trouble I ever got into was when I opened my mouth and said something I never should have said. And have you ever said something and just as soon as it came out, you thought, oh, I wished I never said that? I told you the story about a friend of mine that told me that when you get married, there are two phrases that you need to learn how to say. But he said, you got to be careful how you say them. He said, number one, you got to learn to say, I love you. And then you got to learn to say, I'm sorry. He said, but never put them together and say, I'm sorry, I love you. You have to know what to say and what not to say. You also have to know how to say it. And sometimes you got to learn how not to say it by even with your expressions. Because when I research the scriptures, the most dangerous thing we have is our tongue. And it is a weapon that is used with such effectiveness and cruelty that a person can murder another individual just by the words they utter. And if you really want to know how God feels about it, go back in the Old Testament. Look at what Paul said. That when they were in the wilderness and they murmured and they complained, and God destroyed some of them for their complaining. God does not like when we grumble and we complain and we murmur. We have to watch what we say. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Now, in all of these lessons, I want to make this point. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. I think I put this in your notes under the chapter 11 part, or that scripture. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, this phrase has been used many times for evangelism. But when you study this, that word winneth means to attract. He that attracts souls is wise. He that brings people unto him is wise. Because when you look at Proverbs, it is telling us how to live a blessed life and how to make a difference in the lives of others. Because your life today will do one of two things. You will either attract people or you will repel people by the way you live your life. You will either bring them closer to the Lord, or you will push them away from the Lord. Notice he says to be honest, to be kind, to be careful what you say, to be careful in your life so that you might make a difference. So that you might make a difference in the lives of others. That you might bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That when they look at your life, that they see that you're honest. And that you're a man of love and care. That you're a person that loves the Lord and is living what he says he believes. Because I want you to understand, the person that comes to church on Sunday morning and sits in the pew and proclaims to be a child of God and goes out and rants and raves and cusses and pitches fits and acts like a person of the world and is dishonest in their business dealings and is cruel and hateful, that what they are doing is pushing people away from the Lord Jesus Christ, not bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did not write Proverbs just for us to improve our lives. He gave us Proverbs to make a difference in the lives of others. so that when we live our life, they know there's a difference. You know, right now I could mention a very well-known church. This church has been in the news. And everything about this church promotes hatred. And when the people see how they do things, it pushes them away from Christ. How are we living? If I were to ask you a question today, the question would be this. If you look at your life today, are you attracting people to Jesus? Or are you repelling them away from Jesus? We are called to make a difference. We're called to reach out. We're called to share Christ. Because when I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes everybody. Those who look like me, I feel sorry for them. And those who don't. Christ died for them. Christ died for them. I read a very interesting article last night, and I shared it with Pat and Kristen. You might have read this article. But the man was writing, and he says, I went to the beach to see the sunset. I can't remember if it was the sunset or the sunrise. I think it was the sunset. And he says, I sat down, and right over to the side of me was a lady. Says she was about 60 years of age. And I looked over there, and he said, I noticed her the day before. Because the day before, she had her phone out. She was playing on her phone. All day sitting on the beach playing on the phone. Said she'd get up, walk to the water, and still played on the phone. She'd come back. He said, I was sitting there looking out at the sunset, but I couldn't look out at the sunset because I was watching her playing on the phone. And the whole time I was thinking, if she's missing the greatest show there is, right in front of her, she's playing on the cell phone. And he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he says, yes, she is, but so are you by you being self-righteous, judging her by what she does. And so many times in life, what we do is become self-righteous and we place judgment on somebody else because they're not doing what we're doing or looking like we look or acting like we act. And we judge them. And what we should be doing is looking at the Lord and letting Him judge us in our hearts and not worry about somebody else. What I'm saying is this. As Christians, we are called to make a difference by the way we live, by what we do, by how we speak, by how we are kind and honest. That's why we have Proverbs. so we can live a blessed life. I've said this so many times before, and if I preach another 30 years, if the Lord allows me to do it, I'll keep saying it. I'll never forget my father telling me, if I get to the end of my life and I made a difference in the life of another person, my life has been successful. And what he meant was this, that I made a difference, that I pointed somebody else to Jesus Christ. Let's make a difference this week. Matter of fact, I want you to take your songbook. We're going to sing a song in just a second. Number 670, Brother Art, if y'all will go ahead and come. I want to read this. And I want you to look at these words as I read this hymn. The name of the hymn is Make Me a Blessing. Notice what the words are. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is right, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment. Notice the next two words. You live. He said, tell of the love of Jesus. Tell of that sweet story that He is there to forgive. And it will be true, and you will prove it by the way you live your life. Make me a blessing. Proverbs was written so that we might have the wisdom to know how to live, to make a difference. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I realize that each one of us will this week come in contact with different people. Father, some of them will be saved and some of them will be lost. But I pray, Father, that we would purpose within our hearts that we will walk in obedience to Your Word, that we'll walk in love and kindness, that we'll make a difference, that people will see Christ living in us. Father, use us for the furtherance of the kingdom of glory. May we live so that we would bring honor and glory to You. Father, forgive us where we've fallen short. If there's some area in our life, Father, that is hindering our testimony, Father, I pray that Your precious Holy Spirit would open our eyes and that we would see it, that we would confess it and repent of it, walk closer to Thee. We pray these things in Your most holy and most gracious name. Amen. Let's stand. We want to sing the first and the second stanza. First and the second. Maybe this will be your prayer today. Brother Art, would you lead us?